My touchstone turned into a rock from which I am now springing. I am springing forth, baby. Right. Let us do this.
Okay,
and I'm glad for what Gary had shared, because as we feather through life, which is kind of a paradox, but we want to feather through life, but life is not easy, and it's not going to get easier. You guys are being conditioned, and you are able to handle the pressures of whatever it is that you face. And, you know, you might look at certain pressures as one-offs, but they could repeat themselves. The thing is that we are going to have to face things whether we want to or not. Life is like that. And it just so happens that this phase of our lives is dishing out a whole lot of heck that none of us want. And so the better equipped you are to perceive what is happening, the better condition you'll be for the next time, and the next, and the next. And so life is just like that. And based on what we're experiencing in America today, I thought that you might enjoy hearing a little bit about Babylon. And I'd like you to turn to Revelation 17, because I'll get there. But which city is this city called Babylon? I'm sure you've heard of the great city called Babylon. It's something that is yet to come, but already is. Is this Babylon the Babylon of old? Or is it some other city in the world today? Is it a denomination? A country? A people group? Or otherwise? We must put together pieces of a Babylon puzzle from God's word in order to begin to understand what city will become this great city called Babylon. Truly, no one will know which city it really is until the Antichrist establishes his 10 kingdoms and the rulers over them, and then places their control in and from this great city. So I want to share about this Babylon, and the reason I want to share about it, it's not just happenstance. I'm not trying to tickle your ears, but we are witnessing a certain evil across America that largely goes unexplained. And it is more or less out of control. So with your spiritual insights, you can certainly understand the source of the evil and the source of lack of control. But as for some of the whys and wherefores, maybe you haven't put that together yet, and that's what I'm trying to do. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And so this is a reference to Babylon. And Babylon is called the great whore. that sitteth upon many waters. Revelation 19, verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. So, the great whore is a name given to this Babylon city. And there are three more. Revelation 17, verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, or prostitutes, or whores, and abominations of the earth. So we've learned several more names from verse 5. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother of abominations of the earth. This Babylon is a city. Just that. It's not a religious denomination, a Muslim empire, the Roman Catholic Church, or anything else. It is a great and powerful city. And also, turn to Revelation 11. The word Babylon is a figure used to represent this great city. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So Babylon is a figure used to represent this great city, just like Sodom and Egypt, in verse 8, were used to represent very evil cities and places, because that's where the fallen came and worked so many of their dire works, as well as Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified. And you all know that Jesus wasn't crucified in Sodom and Egypt. So this is a figure. And it shows you the figure representation that also applies to Babylon. Revelation 17. What people make up this city? Revelation 17, verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. We read Revelation 17, verse 1, which said, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And here we see the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth. And it tells you what those waters are. Peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Then we ask the question, well, who reigns over this city? Revelation 17, verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest in that great city, which which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Who reigns over this city? This city reigns over the kings or rulers. It says kings, but that also means rulers. And these rulers are mentioned in Revelations, and there are 17 in total. And the waters it sits among represent a multitude from every nation and tongue and people and language. Therefore, the citizens of this city are multicultural and have arrived from the four corners of the earth to live in this city. So that answers then who reigns over this city, these rulers. There's 17 of them, and they'll be controlled by the Antichrist from this city. This city is not the Babylon of old, which is in Iraq today. And so I've explained that Babylon is a figure, more clearly, pointing to a modern city, which is great in power and influence in these last days. And it is my belief, according to both Acts and other references in the Old Testament and the Gospels and the New Testament, that we are in the last days, the last times. They've been ongoing for many, many years, though, so keep that in mind. This city reigns over the kings or rulers, which we just read in Revelation 17, verse 18. And it is to these kings or rulers that power to govern over the 10 geopolitical regions during the apocalypse is given. It will be the seat or headquarters of the government of the Antichrist. This creature will govern his 10 geopolitical regions from this great city. In Revelation 17, verse 18 again, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city. So we are told that Babylon, here called the woman, but we are told that Babylon is a city. And it reigns over the kings of the earth. The rulers of the earth will reign or govern from this city. This city will become the de facto capital of the world when these end times prophecies become reality. And these rulers will all be given their marching orders from this great city. Well, I'd like to say that this great city will have an end. Revelation 18, I want you to understand that we're watching, and you'll understand why I say this when I tell you what city I think it is, but we're watching an unfolding of this prophesied power even now. And we're watching an evil spread from this great city even now. Revelation 18, verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon, and there it's called a city again, be thrown down. It's called a city, and even in Revelation, like seven different times. And shall be found no more at all. Oh my goodness. totally destroyed. Well, when you understand how evil this place really will be, you'll be glad to hear that. So Revelation 18 foretells the plight and end to this famous city. And you can read Revelation 18 and pick up a whole lot about that on your own. Revelation 18, verse 2, "And he, the angel, cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, have committed fornication with her." They've all done this horrible fornication, which I think is killing of the saints and shedding of their blood. "And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich." They grow rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This city is going to fall, and there is a fate given to it. Verse 16. "And saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." These rulers who take their marching orders from this city will turn against it and burn her with fire. Revelation 18, verse 8. "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Verse 9. "And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." Verse 10. "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city." Yet another reference that Babylon, two references, is a city. "For in one hour is thy judgment come." Verse 18. "And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city?" The end to this great city will come suddenly. The fallen angels will burn her with fire at the close of the apocalypse. And when I read that verse to you about those caged birds and all that, that's talking about all those fallen devils. And this is where they amass themselves. Verse 15, "The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." Verse 21, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea." So this city has to be by the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall this great city, Babylon, be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. This 1 hour, we read, could very well be a nuclear strike in the time of the apocalypse. And there will be many in the time of the apocalypse. And so not only will that happen, and I'm surmising this based on descriptions in the Old Testament, but not only will this happen in that Valley of Armageddon and even against Jerusalem, but it will happen at this great city and in the land of that great city that I'll read to you as well. But this is during the time of the apocalypse, not today. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, verse 53. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet for me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. God's going to take care of this. Look in verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. So I know you might think of the end times and the apocalypse as a one locale setting, but it's not. This is yet another aspect of it. Well, I mentioned that the city is a major sea trading port. Jeremiah 51, verse 24. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. It says, I will render unto Babylon. Now, we know that that's a city. I haven't told you what city I think it is, though. But we'll talk about that. I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea. And again, we're talking figures, because we already know that Babylon's a figure. And so too is inhabitants of Chaldea, all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. From this we learn, not only will this Babylon city be destroyed, but also the entire country where it resides. There are many cities that could qualify for this city. For instance, London or Singapore. And each of these have prominent roles in the regions of their worlds. Tokyo, Hong Kong. Revelation chapter 18. And verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. I find this very interesting, that God's people are there, and that God's people will be able to come out of there. And be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And when you hear and realize the potential of what this city is, you'll probably never want to go there again. That ye receive not of her plagues. Jeremiah 51, We're going back and forth. Revelation to Jeremiah. We're almost done. Jeremiah 51 and in verse 42. You see, you have to... It's kind of like when you were a kid and you used to look at puzzle pictures, maybe in comic books, and you'd see a barnyard. It'd be like a drawing of a barnyard, and they would say, okay, find 10 chickens. And you'd have to find 10 chickens hidden in the drawings. And that's kind of what it's like here. You know, we have to go to different parts of the world to get all the chickens, or all the Babylons. Anyway, Jeremiah 51, verse 42. The sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. This city will be submerged by a mega tsunami. Wow. Can you imagine the explosion that would take place to cause that? Revelation 18. Revelation 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice. Now these words are becoming familiar. Saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Now this fallen is caused by the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I've told you that it's talking about the fallen angels. And we've learned, based on several of these scriptures and the figures employed, that Jerusalem and Babylon will be infested by these beings. Only God could raise from the dead those two witnesses in Jerusalem who are left on the street for 3.5 days for all the world via the internet to see. And they will be raised from the dead, and they will be taken away by God. Well, Hollywood is preparing and conditioning the world for the manifestation of these fallen ones. I mentioned several city names, but only one actually satisfies the requirements for all of the characteristics that are listed. And we've been given hints throughout these verses that you more or less can see once you're exposed to them, that the city is a sea trading city. Everything is for sale that anyone could ever want to buy in this city. It's the financial center for world trade and commerce. That businessmen have made vast fortunes by trading with this city. This city has high towers that reach to the sky. This city has a multicultural population drawn from all corners of the earth. The headquarters of the government of the Antichrist will rule from its offices in this wealthy city. This city is described as the mother of prostitutes and has a golden cup in her hand. This city is also an evil city, as all manner of sin and godliness will operate there. And so we know that the United Nations has its headquarters in corner of the earth that is multicultural and almost non-American. I mean, 35% or more, probably more now, of the population of New York are non-Americans and are from outside of the U.S., and the rest of the citizens are of multi-ethnic origin. There's a lot of that in many of the other cities too, but the only one that I know that really satisfies all of these characteristics is New York. And we know that New York has a seaport and cargoes from everywhere come in. And the UN is one thing that really throws this one over the top. And so when you put all this together and understand that New York City could very well be this city, then you can see why the things that are happening in New York City and state, even to this day, actually have a genesis from the Bible. And so the reason I shared this is so that you're not so alarmed by what's taking place, that you once again reside in your Christian bubble that allows you to observe and recognize that you are seated in the heavenlies and all hell can't change that. You are a son of God, a God, and you are born again of God's Spirit. You have the seed. You, it is incorruptible and it is unmovable, untarnishable in any and every fathomable way. And so therefore, your life is sealed according to the token of this great gift given to you upon the exercising of your free will to become born again. You confess Jesus as Lord. You believe that God raised him from the dead. You were born again. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If and when ever your faith is maybe ruffled a little bit, or possibly minimized a little bit, remember that every man, Christian, was given the same measure of faith. It is by this faith that you can move mountains, and it is by this faith that you stand. God has given you faith so that you could live in this ever so tarnished world during these ever so trying times. And so understand that God's hand of mercy and blessing is upon you and will always remain. If and when your faith is tempted or taunted or touched, you can pray for greater faith. Others can pray for you for your faith. And you can always pray that the evil one is rebuked, that God rebukes the evil one from your life. So you always have recourse, and you always can manage those things put in your path. Every man can manage his or her own lot in life. But understand that there is a spiritual significance to literally everything that is happening today. You are never at the whims of those happenings. You are bound by the laws of God and every word of God, most specifically the seven church epistles. So let those words reign, climb to the heights of that grandeur and allow your light to shine so that the world can see you are a Christian, that you are filled with faith, and that these things of the world will fade away in insignificance when we truly are seated physically on high. Thank you.
Amen.